Chaim says, look, I've been trying to get the money together for a long time. I wasn't able to. I've been trying. I mean, I've been trying for weeks, for months, but it just hasn't happened yet. So today's the last day. Hashem knows today's the last day. Hashem knows I owe the poor 3,000 rubles. Mitzvah Hashem, by the end of the day, Hashem will help, I'll have the money. I don't know how, but listen, I have to pay the money, so Hashem will help, I'll have the money. Well, Kinalach, the shaking, worried Yid began to see a little bit. I mean, he was so worried and shaking, he could hardly think, but he began to, a little bit to see why the Baal Shem Tov had sent him to this Reb Chaim. Here is a thing happening that could make a person so worried and so nervous and so afraid. And this Reb Chaim Kinalach is not afraid and he's not nervous and he's not worried. Why? Because he says Hashem is going to help. Hashem will help. This is a thing, Kinalach, that was a very, very great bitachin. You know what bitachin is? Trusting Hashem. Hashem will help, even if there's trouble, even if you don't know how things are going to work out. A little bit, the shaking worry Yid began to see what's happening over here. About an hour later, Kinalach, while Reb Chaim and the worried Yid are talking, all of a sudden, while the shaking, worried Yid was talking with Reb Chaim and eating a little bit and drinking a little bit, all of a sudden the door opened again without a knock. And the same soldier, the scary-looking soldier, came in and he took out his sword from the sword case and he put it up in the air and he smashed it down on the table. And the dishes jumped and the forks jumped and the cookies jumped and everything jumped and the tea jumped. And the shaking worried Yid also jumped. He was so scared. And the soldier screams at Reb Chaim, you owe the 3,000 rubles. Pay now. This is the time to come. There's not too much time left. The Poritz wants the money today. Now remember, 3,000 rubles. Why haven't you come yet? You've had a long time. The Poritz is getting very angry at you. Pay the $3,000. He's getting ready his key to the dungeon, to the jail, and to the castle. And he says he's going to throw you and your family in the dungeon if you don't pay. Now let's go. Reb Chaim points out the window. Look, is the sun down yet? The sun, Kinalach, was going down, but it was still shining in the sky. It had not set yet. The soldier put his sword back into his sword thing, into his sword case. I think it's called a sheath. And he said, this is the last time I'm coming here. This is the last warning. The Poritz will be waiting in his castle for you. And if you don't come, you're finished. Remember that. And the soldier left, Kinalach. And the shaking, worried Yid, he says to Reb Chaim, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to pay the money? And if you don't have the money, what are you going to do? Reb Chaim says, look, the sun is going down. In just a little while, it's going to set. I better start going to the castle of the Poritz because he's going to be waiting for me, and I don't want to get him upset. So Reb Chaim went over to his coat. Reb Chaim went over to his coat and he put it on. And he goes over to the door. The shaking, worried Yid says, where are you going? Why'd you put on your coat? Where are you going? I'm going to the castle of the Poritz. I have to pay him the money. But you don't have the money. How can you pay him the money if you don't have it? Listen, there's still some time left. I've got to do what I have to do, and the Rebbe is a health and everything should be okay. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that I have to do what I have to do. I have to go to the Poritz's castle now. Reb Chaim put on the coat, and he went out the door, and he started walking across the field towards the castle. The castle was across the field, all the way across a very big field, and over there was the castle. And in the middle of the field, there was a road. Reb Chaim was not taking the road. He was just going to walk across the field straight to the castle because there's not too much time left. The shaking worried yid is watching out the window. What's going to happen? And is Reb Chaim ever going to come back home? What's going to be? As the shaking worried yid is watching Reb Chaim and as the sun is going down, he crosses the field. He gets to the road. He's crossing the road to go to the other part of the field that's on the other side of the road. And just at the time that Reb Chaim reaches the road and is crossing the road, at the same time, a wagon was going on the road. One wagon. It was very quiet, Bichlal, at that time. But all of a sudden, this one wagon happened to come. It happened to be a very fancy, beautiful wagon. Like nowadays, we have cars. There's regular cars, and there's some very fancy, schmancy kind of expensive cars that are usually owned by very important kind of people. And that's why they're so fancy, schmancy. Now, this kind of wagon was a very, very expensive kind of a fancy wagon, probably owned by some kind of a very big businessman or very important person. And it was going on the road with its beautiful white horses just at the time that Reb Chaim was crossing the road. Now, the shaking worried is watching. Reb Chaim crossed the road. A few seconds later, the wagon passed by. And Reb Chaim is going across the field a few steps. And all of a sudden, the wagon slows down and the wagon stops. Why the wagon stopped all of a sudden? The shaking worried yid didn't know. All he saw was that it stopped. And he sees Reb Chaim going over to the wagon. Somebody must have called him in the wagon. The man in the wagon is talking to Reb Chaim. They're talking for a few minutes. And then Reb Chaim goes. The wagon starts to go again. The wagon goes a little bit for a few seconds, stops again. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim turns around and goes towards the wagon because the wagon, somebody must have called him again from the wagon. And they talked for a minute more. And then the wagon went away. And Reb Chaim went across the field. And that was it. All that the shaking worried yid knew is that Reb Chaim went to the castle. After this happened, what happened he didn't know. About half an hour later, as it was already dark, all of a sudden, the door opens to the house, and in comes Reb Chaim, with a smile on his face. Hello, I'm glad you're still here. We'll daven Ma'ariv, we'll have some supper together, maybe we'll learn some Torah. The shaking, worried yid, he was sitting at the table shaking and worried. He was shaking and worried about Reb Chaim, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, Reb Chaim walks in. He says, what are you doing here? Did you go to the parts? Did you go to the castle? What happened? How'd you get back here? Yeah, I went to the castle. I paid the parts 3,000 rubles, and now I came back. You paid the parts 3,000 rubles? How did you pay the parts? How'd you get the money? And Reb Chaim says like this. I'll tell you what happened. Hashem helped. Listen to what happened. I was going across the field. As I was going across the field, I was pashut davening to Hashem. I was asking Hashem, please Hashem, help! For the sake of my family, for the sake of my kinderlach, please! When I went to the road, there was a very, very fancy wagon going on the road. That was right after I crossed the road. All of a sudden I heard a voice calling me. Hey, Reb Chaim, come here. I turned around and I saw a man. I knew this man. This man is a businessman. What does he do? He buys fruit from the fields. What does it mean? He goes to the farmers. He says to the farmers, I'll buy all the fruit of your fields. And he buys the fruit. He takes the fruit and he sells it, or he does other things with it. Now, in my fields are growing grapevines, grape trees. Now it's not the time they're grapes. But certain times of the year, the grapes are growing on my grapevines. This man sometimes, once in a while, comes to me when my grapes are ready, and he pays me money for the whole field, and he buys all the grapes, and he gets workers to go out and pick them, and he buys them. Of course, I took care to grow them with my workers, but then it's time to sell them, he buys them. And he buys the whole field at one time. This man remembered that my grapes are delicious. They're excellent grapes. So what did he do? He said, hey, Reb Chaim, you don't have any grapes now, but I'll tell you what. I would like to buy the grapes of your field when they're ready. Can I do that? You have very good grapes, and I would like to buy your fields. And you know what? I'll pay you now for the grapes that are going to grow this coming season. I'll pay you now, and when they're ready, I'll come back, and you'll give me the grapes. And since I'm the first one who asked you, I'm sure I'm the first one who asked you, I'll get all of your grapes and nobody else will because I'm the first. Because I like your grapes. You have very good grapes. So the big businessman says to Reb Chaim, how much money would you like for all of your grapes in the coming season? Reb Chaim says, 3,000 rubles. Now 3,000 rubles is a lot of money. And the man in the wagon said, what? 3,000 rubles? So much money for all of your grapes? Are you kidding? Ah, come on, that's too much. Reb Chaim says, look, I need 3,000 rubles, that's the price. And the man said, forget it, it's too much. The man went on, Reb Chaim went on in his way, and a few seconds later, Reb Chaim is telling the shaking worried yid what happened. All of a sudden, the wagon stopped again, and the man inside the wagon says, hey, Reb Chaim, come back here. That's when Reb Chaim turned around the second time, went to the wagon, he says, look, it's a lot of money, but your grapes are worth it. Hashem should help you this year. You should have excellent grapes and a lot. And I'm going to pay you now the 3,000 rubles, and that way, I'm going to get all of your grapes because you have the best grapes. It's a lot of money, but I think it'll be worth it for this year. And he gave Reb Chaim 3,000 rubles in a bag. Reb Chaim told the shaking worried yid, he took that bag, he gave that to the parts, he paid the money that he owed, and then he came home. And Kenelach, after hearing that story, the shaking worried yid, he stopped shaking. And he stopped worrying. And he saw how Hashem could help. When you just have bitachon in Hashem, you rely on Hashem. Of course, you do everything you can. A person has to do everything they can to help themselves. They have to try as hard as they can. But they have to have bitachon that Hashem is the one that's going to help them. And the shaking worried yid saw why the Baal Shem Tov sent him to Reb Chaim. He learned his lesson, and from then on, he was not worried anymore. At least it took some time to work on himself, but he got less and less worried until he was able to have trust in Hashem. He stopped shaking and he stopped worrying. And when things got tough, he used to tell himself and he used to tell other people, Hashem is going to help. Why should I shake and why should I worry? I just have to do what I have to do. And Be'ezus Hashem, Hashem will help with the rest. And that's the Maisa about the shaking worried Yid who stopped shaking and stopped worrying. Now, in each time, in each generation, there are 36 hidden tzaddikim. They're called tzaddikim nistarim. We don't know who they are. And because of these 36 tzaddikim, the whole world stands. They might look like a regular person. We don't even know they're a tzaddik. We don't even know they're special at all. And really, when nobody's looking, they're doing all kinds of very special things, secret things, learning or davening or helping people, all in secret. And sometimes we never find out who they really are. And sometimes much later on, people find out who they really were. But never in their lifetime does anyone find out who they are. Or really find out who they are. For example, in Yerushalayim, years ago, it was Asara B'Tevis, in the winter time. There was a big snowstorm. That's a tinus, a fast day. Moitzai Asara B'Tevis, the night after the fast, a certain man died in Yerushalayim. A man that had a little store, a simple man. Now in Yerushalayim, the Levaya, when they bury the dead person, has to be at night, if they die at night, because they're not allowed to have a dead person in Yerushalayim overnight. In the rest of the world, if a person passes away at night, they have a Levaya in the daytime. You don't make a Levaya at night. In Yerushalayim, they make a Levaya at nighttime. If the person passed away at night, because you're not supposed to have a person in Yerushalayim who passed away overnight. Yerushalayim is a place of life. And so they took this person to make the Levaya at night, in the big snowstorm. Now, on Har HaZeisim, the place where they bury people in Yerushalayim, there are very big tzaddikim buried there. Very great halakha tzaddikim. And then, great halakha tzaddikim are buried there. And then, past the place of the great tzaddikim, there's regular people that are buried there. Now, they took out this very poor man who had a little store, a little tiny store in Yerushalayim, and they're going to bury him in the place of the regular people over there. But since there was so much snow, the Chevra Kadisha could hardly see where they're going. The Chevra Kadisha are the people that take care of the Levayas. They're called the Halakha friends. They have such a big mitzvah of taking care of these things. As they're taking him to bury him, they can't see where they're going even. The snow is covering every place. They even thought, who knows, maybe we should wait till the snow stops, but that might be in the daytime, and then they're not allowed to do that because they have to bury him at night if he passes away at night. You can't leave a Levaya for later unless it must be. Here, it doesn't must be. In other words, they could find a way to bury him at night even though it's very hard. Finally, they dig down in the snow. They thought they had the right place. It was very difficult to dig in that snow, and it was so freezing cold. But they dug in the ground, and they did the Levaya according to the way the Torah says. And they put him in the caver. The caver that they made for him. They put the man in the caver that they dug for him on the mountain, and they thought this was the place of the regular people, the regular Yidden should be buried. That's what they thought. And they went back home. The next day, after the snow stopped, and some of the snow melted later on, the weather became better, all of a sudden, somebody on Har HaZeisim noticed a very big mistake had been made. This poor man that was buried the night before, by mistake, of course, as we know, nothing is really a mistake. Everything is Hashkacha Pratis. Everything is from Hashem, but Hashem's watching it. Only sometimes we think there's a mistake. Anyway, it seems that the Chevra Kadisha made a very big mistake. That instead of putting this poor man into a place on the regular part of the mountain for regular Yidden, by mistake, he was buried next to a very great tzaddik. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, this is a Yid and that's a Yid. But the place next to this great tzaddik, this was such a special place to be buried that they wanted to reserve this also for a very great tzaddik. In other words, they wanted to put in this particular place also a very great tzaddik so that tzaddikim would be buried together. And, of course, nobody wants it to happen, but if Chas V'Shalom, a great tzaddik, would pass away in Yerushalayim, this would be a place of kavod, a very, very special place to be buried for him. So they didn't want to put a regular person in here, they wanted to put a great tzaddik in here. And by mistake, they thought it was a mistake, they put the regular Yid in this caver. Now is the Shaila, what do? Are they going to dig him up and put him in a different place? That's not nice to do. But to leave a regular Yid there next to great tzaddikim, maybe this is not also the right thing to do. Maybe this should be a place for a great tzaddik, and maybe they should move the caver of this man. Finally, they decided they should leave him where he is. And it seems like it was a mistake, but it was not nice to dig him up and to move him. So they left the man where he was. Of course, it was very interesting, the people talked in Yerushalayim, how it happened that such a simple man should be buried next to such a great, great tzaddik. And that's what it was. Years went by, 30 years went by, and now it's 30 years after the man passed away. And as I told you, he had a little store in Yerushalayim, like a little room, and that was his store amongst the other stores. After he passed away, other people went and they took over the store and they made their store there. 30 years later, a certain man took over the store that used to belong to this Yid. And now he wanted to make his store there. But then he had a lot of boxes and he had a lot of things and he needed room to put them. And they told him that there's a basement under the store. And people had used the basement, but they never really cleaned out the basement with all the stuff that was there. Nobody ever took the time or took the koyach to clean out the whole basement. This man decided he's going to clean out the whole basement. And then he'll have plenty of room for his things. He starts carrying out all the things, the boxes and the different things that people had left from other stores in the basement, people had left stuff down there, and he starts cleaning everything out. There's a lot of garbage, he's throwing it out, most of it's completely garbage. Some of the stuff was worth something, maybe he sold it. Finally, in the back of the basement was a box. He picks up the box, it's full of dust, it must be years old. He took it up from the basement near the door of the store where there was light and he could see it. He opened up the box and it's full of papers. Ah, probably also a lot of junk here. A bunch of papers, I'll throw it in the garbage. And as he was ready to throw the papers in the garbage, he noticed it was handwritten. All of these papers were written by hand. Somebody had written these papers. He was curious, I wonder what it is. He starts to read the papers, and his eyes started opening very wide. Because these were not regular papers of just writing. This was all Torah. Somebody had written a lot of ideas in Torah, explaining Chumash, explaining Mishnayos, explaining Gemara, explaining Midrashim, explaining all kinds of things in the Torah. Somebody had written their own explanations. Now, Kinalach, many people come up with ways to explain Torah. But as he was reading it, and this man who had the store, he knew how to learn, and he realized that this is a very special. This is not a regular person writing. This is very, very special halakhic writing from a great Talmud Chacham and a great Tzaddik. Who is this? And he took the box to the Rav. And the Rav himself started reading. And the Rav realized that this must be a great Tzaddik who wrote this. And this is not a Sefer that's written. This is not something anybody ever knew about. These are writings that were in the box that nobody ever knew about till today. The Rav took Talmidei Chachamim from Yerushalayim. They took all the papers out of the box. And they found out who was the man that wrote all these papers. It was the Yid from 30 years ago that had the little store, that everybody thought he was a regular Yid, that ended up being buried, that they thought it was a mistake in the snowstorm, next to the great Tzaddik, amongst the very great Tzaddikim on Har HaZeisim. This was the man who wrote these papers. They realized he was one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim, the Lamed Vav tzaddikim. He was a tzaddik nister, and they only discovered it 30 years later. And then, of course, they realized this was no mistake, that he was buried amongst the great tzaddikim, because he himself was a tzaddik. And Hashem takes care and knows exactly, of course, what's going on. And Hashem takes care that the right things happen at the right time. We might think it's a mistake. Hashem knows. There's no such thing as a mistake. Hashem knows what He's doing.